Amen. And thank you for being here today online and for your understanding during this most difficult of seasons in our lives. Nothing like it has ever taken place that would keep us apart for the period of time that we've been separated from one another. And as we gather together today, I want to thank you for many things. First of all, thank you for your continued support of adding our second campus. Things are going very well. Would encourage you just to drive by this week and get out for a moment and go over there and just sit in the parking lot and pray for the work of God to be done in the coming months and years there. Come over to the main campus with your family and pray for our church family. Not that there's anything super significant about being here to pray, but this is the place that we normally gather together. And so if you would just come sometime during the Christmas season with your family and pray for our church family on a good weather day, maybe just walk around the park and just intercede on behalf of one another while social distancing. I want to say praise the Lord to our dear friends in Israel who have just come through Hanukkah. I heard from one this morning who has set the dates for us for February 2022 and February 2023 and has already marked that down for us, and we're sharing with them that we're praying with them, and so I'm thankful that they're even watching this morning. The coronavirus is impacting us all. For the first time in these 9 months, our church is really being touched personally by the coronavirus. In fact, today is a very difficult day. Just before I came in here, I got word that precious Barbara Hutchison had coded at the hospital. I prayed with Star just before going to bed last night for her mother, who was having some difficulty yesterday with clarity of mind, and then it was determined that she had COVID. And Star got that awful call this morning that her mother had coded. This is just another reminder that the message the Lord has given me for Christmas Eve is needed more now than ever before. I want you to know that this is probably the most difficult time that I've ever experienced as a pastor. I stood in this building after making that video that I sent to you on Friday evening. I watched and looked at Christmas ornaments on unlit trees, foyers that were empty with no people, the darkness of the building. And it's like I heard the building itself groaning for normality and for the gathering of God's people in this place. I felt a little like Jesus, who looked down over Jerusalem and had compassion on the people, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. I mentioned to a few people yesterday that it is very difficult to not be able to be with you, to embrace you, to pray with you personally. Today, that came to a climactic moment when Star called, and the realization that I cannot walk into a hospital to hold the hand of someone who is passing into eternity, that I cannot go to the home of someone who has contracted COVID, that I cannot be to you what I've been for 25 years, nor can our staff, but I want you to know this. God is with us. You are not alone. I am not alone. We are not alone. Our hope, as I read the other day in that video, is in our God. And if all things are stripped away from us, every last thing that we have and that we hold dear, God remains faithful. I could end now, but that wouldn't be the way to honor our God. So we pray and we press on. Pray for Star today. If you know Star well, I want you to just kind of call her, text her, and she may be on the phone with someone else, but listen, folks, we need to take this coronavirus seriously. People are being impacted one after another, and we have to do our part. I've asked my family to stay home, to stop going to stores. Listen, the trinkets and the gifts of Christmas are meaningless when death invades the home, when sickness comes or separation comes. Don't worry about the worldly trinkets and toys. Use this as an opportunity to teach your family that Christmas is more than lights and glitter. And you all know how much I love the Christmas season. Our home is lit beautifully every year. We love to give gifts to one another. We love to have you in our home to celebrate with large gatherings. But all of that is just a part of the greater story of Christmas, that God is with us. In many ways, the world has stolen Christmas from the people of God and made it out to be about worldly pleasure, trinkets and toys. And I think Christmas, from the world's perspective, can be summed up in two words: self-gratification. But let's pull the plug on the world's Christmas experience. What would be the right response to Christmas for you and me this year, in this most unprecedented of years for the vast majority of us? We should let Christmas be Christmas. Let its story ring deeply in our hearts. What should characterize the way that we celebrate Christmas? We must admit that the coronavirus has kept us from large gatherings, just like today. It has removed the ability for us to freely move about in packed stores at the Christmas season. To be with large crowds, it has slowed travel across the globe. It has kept me, as I just mentioned, and other staff members and pastors across the nation and the world from being able to personally be with people. But maybe looking back, this will be a time in which we can rejoice. Maybe for us, this is not such a bad thing that we must take pause and consider the things that actually matter in life. Chasing the next dollar does not. Climbing the ladder does not. Outdoing our neighbor does not. So let's refocus our attention. Hit the pause button on the playbook of your life and think about the things that actually matter. In this time of forced pause, you and I should take inventory of what should be at the core of our Christmas experience. And I think it's very simple. Jesus, one another, and a lost world. Jesus, one another, in a lost world. After all, that's what Christmas is for. He was given the name Jesus, which means that he would come to save his people from their sins. Christmas ought to be a time focused on the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ, the God-man, fully God and fully man, who entered into our world, taking on flesh to redeem us from our lostness. The Apostle John said it perfectly, that the Word, God, became flesh and has dwelt among us. And Luke answers the question, why? To seek and to save that which was lost. Isaiah tells us who is lost. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. And yet the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. So Christmas is about the fact of redemption that comes through the God-man, Jesus Christ. The center of our Christmas experience, we should worship. That's what we should prioritize. You and I should put worship at the center of the Christmas experience this year, more than the toys and the trinkets. Our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren need to see in us hearts of worship and devotion to the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit. But how do you and I worship God during a worldwide pandemic that separates us from one another, that keeps us from entering into cathedrals and sanctuaries, to keeping us from Christmas musicals and all that goes with it? Our church family normally gathers in greater numbers than at any other time of the year during this week. In fact, it was 20 years ago this week that we first entered into this sanctuary. Our first gathering was Christmas Eve of 2000. The place was packed multiple times, overflow crowds. It was an amazing night. The Spirit of God was present. And now I stand on a Sunday before Christmas Day with maybe 14 people in this room to provide this live stream worship experience for you. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. And we should take a moment to pause and make the best of it. And we should worship with all that we have, just as if we were in the room, if not more. Beloved, the Christmas stories found in the Gospels give to us a beautiful glimpse into what our worship this Christmas ought to look like. I want to just share with you from selected passages of the Christmas stories, the birth narrative of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. I'm of those that believe now, after studying the feast of the Lord and much of the Old Testament, I'm persuaded that Jesus was born in the early, late, mid-fall during the time of the Feast of Ingathering. It makes so much sense. Even his naming on the eighth day, on the day of Simchat Torah, when they spoke of the law. It's another message for another day, but this is the point of Christmas, that we celebrate the coming of the God-man, Jesus Christ. It is to be about him and its entirety, and all of our lives should refocus on the act of worship. How should we worship God? We should worship him as the prophets of old did. How did the prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Micah, Malachi, Hosea, Daniel, Ezekiel, how did they worship God? In times of famine, in times of exile, in times of isolation, in times of personal and national grief, they worshiped God in joyful hope. Habakkuk said it beautifully. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though their olive crop fails and there are no cattle in the stalls or sheep in the pen, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in God my Savior, for the Lord is my strength. Beloved, the prophets teach us we can worship God with joyful hope. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, we long for the blessed hope, which is the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you realize today in joyful hope that there is coming a day where there will be no more death or pain or sorrow or pandemics or recession? There is coming the day of his appearing. And let us with joyful hope praise God for that promise. We worship God today in joyful hope that this season will be past, that we will embrace one another without any measure of mask or something between us, that we can hold hands across the aisles of this congregation, that we can gather at the altar for weddings, that we can gather in mass numbers for funerals and homegoing celebrations. But now we worship God as the prophets did, in joyful, praise God, in joyful hope. Joyful hope. I sat this morning and thank God for Nick who prayed over me. I lost my emotions, which is a God thing. I wept at my desk, soaking tissues, because I'm separated from you. But God promises we will be together again. In joyful hope, we worship. Secondly, we should worship God as the angels and the heavenly host did, as recorded in Luke 2:13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those upon whom his favor rests. Beloved, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and then the multitude of the heavenly host, if you study those words, it means multitudes upon multitudes. All over the land of Israel, the night sky was lit up, maybe to the shepherds alone, and they saw what the servant of Elisha the prophet saw, the army of the Lord encamped around Bethlehem. And what they did is they sang glory to God in the highest, oblivious to the world, yet to that newborn baby's ears, heaven sang. And so for you and for me and for our families and our church, we need to take notice of that which the angelic beings and the heavenly host teach us, that God is meant to be worshiped with joyful proclamation. Behold, good news of great joy. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, the angel said, who is Christ the Lord. We know him. And he knows us. Joyful proclamation. Let us tell the nations he is here. But also glorious praise. And the heavenly host burst forth with song and declaration. Glory to God in the highest. Thirdly, we should worship as the shepherds did, with urgency. They did not pause. They did not wait. But when the message of God was spoken to them through the angelic being, they quickly and urgently left the field. It says in Luke 2:15, verses 6 and 16, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off with urgency. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Do it now, beloved. Worship him now. Come to salvation now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into his presence. All you have to do is seek him. And the Bible says those who seek the Lord will find him. Jesus Christ came for you to find him. He came to find you and to make it very easy for you to find him. Let's worship like the shepherds did with urgency. Don't delay. Capture the moment. Church family, Barbara Hutchison is a reminder to us today that we must continue to care for one another and reach out and call. As I've asked the staff to be contacting you every 14 to 20 days, it is with urgency that I'm asking them to do that, to stay in touch with you and your family. And listen, if you've not gotten a call from us, pick up the phone and call us. Call a staff member. Ask them how you can pray for them, and then ask them to pray for you. Help me to help our church be accountable to the Lord and to one another for care of the body of Christ. Let's not delay. Praise God, I did not delay over the years in telling Barbara Hutchison how much I loved her and how much she meant to me and our church family. As much as I would have wanted to be there today, I know this, that Barbara knew that she was treasured by our church family and loved by our staff. She was such an encourager, as is Star. The last thing I said to Star last night before I hung up that phone was, I love you. I love your mother. This morning, the moment was urgent and we didn't even have time to pray as she was racing into the hospital, but the reality is our hearts were united in prayer. Beloved, love one another. And by this, the world will know that you're Christians, but do it with urgency. Do it with urgency. Hear me, please. Urgency, with intentionality. If you have been wayward in your walk with the Lord, if you are backslidden as it relates to the church, if you're apathetic concerning the things of God, let that change today, right now. and return to the Lord. He's waiting like an expectant father. Fourthly, we shouldn't just worship like the prophets or the angels or the shepherds. You and I should worship as the wise man did, through generous giving that advances his glorious cause. I shared about this a few weeks ago, but I want to remind you of what the scripture says in Matthew 2:11. They fell down and they worshiped him, and they presented him gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Gold for the king, incense for the priest who mediates between God and man, and myrrh for a sacrifice to be embalmed as the Savior of the world. Let us in this year end give to Jesus abundantly more than the world would. While we give to one another, and that is a wonderful blessing, let us not give more to each other than we give to Jesus. Y'all, the nations need the gospel, and you and I, by giving to Salem, are helping to do that, to take the gospel to the world. We pray for our missionary couple that just left us a few weeks ago and went out into the world to tell of Jesus. I had one of the most blessed things happen this week. A young man who's numbered among a family that about 10 plus years ago, you and I together as Salem Baptist Church, we helped to sustain them in a very difficult time financially. In fact, this precious family lived on our church property in one of our homes, the one that is now the clothes closet. They were struggling and having a very hard time. But you, as God's people, provided a place for them. You paid their utilities. You clothed them. You supported and encouraged them. There were multiple children in that home, one that was somewhat handicapped and confined to a wheelchair. I want to tell you this week, the greatest gift that I've been given at Christmas was for that young man who I would encourage each week to trust in the Lord and to do his physical exercises. He messaged me on Facebook and he said, "Pastor Rick, thank you for your influence in my life and for Salem's influence in my life." He said the Lord has called him to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He said he fought it, but he's given in and he's responded to God's call in his life. And I pray that that young man from his wheelchair will be known around the world as an evangelist for the cause of Christ. And you played a part in that by your giving. Church family, let's not be content to give just the $210,000 that remains, but would you give so much in these last few weeks that I need to tell you by message to stop, to don't give anymore, that we have all that we need? What you give to Jesus matters. You remember it advanced his cause and protected him as he went into Egypt when Herod was killing the boys. Joseph and Mary and Jesus had the financial resources to go to Egypt to be safe until he would return to the land of Israel. It was because the wise men, like you and me, gave to advance the gospel of Jesus. So, church family, as Nick's already asked you, mail the check, drop it off in the locked box outside the church, go online even right now and make a year-end contribution. Commit to give next year more than you've given before. You can give stocks and bonds and other things that will help you even to receive an extra benefit tax-wise. I'm telling you, there's ways to give that you can bless the kingdom of God and in fact help you out as well. It's always more blessed to give than to receive. Larry can help you with that. Isn't it amazing that God's word speaks to all that we need? You and I should worship this season like Mary did. I mentioned earlier that I walked around the building the other night after filming that video on this platform. The building is quiet. In fact, I said groaning for the gathering of God's people. But during those moments, I was able to worship God as Mary did through quiet reflection and meditation is my heart was grieved because of your absence physically. God reminded me that he's working among us and preparing us for something greater than we've ever known before. As I mentioned to you, I'm more excited as we begin the 26th year of ministry together as pastor and people and with a wonderful staff. I'm more excited than I was when I was 33 years old and just had become pastor of this church. I'm growing old like many of you, but my heart is growing younger every day in the Lord in many ways. My energy for the kingdom desires to be stronger now than ever before, not to give up, not to quit, not to sit down and be idle, but to be more effective in ministry for him and for you than ever before. And I pray that you will do that also. Through quiet reflection and meditation, let us seek the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 2:19, but Mary treasured up these things and she pondered them in her heart. This morning I got up and I came back into our bedroom where Julianne had taken the spot that once was mine in our bed. And I looked at her as she was sleeping soundly and thanked God for the precious gift of a child, for sustaining her life through a stroke, and to have her joyfully running through our house and later today to dance with me in the foyer as we listen to Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. But I pray that there'll be moments this week, as I told her, that this is going to be a good week, Julianne. You're going to be with Mimi and Granddaddy, and we're going to read the Bible and talk about Jesus. And you know what? Through quiet meditation, get by your Christmas tree or somewhere in your home in the darkness of the night and read God's word and let him speak to you. Read the 84th Psalm and reflect upon it today. We should worship as Joseph did. This is subtle, but it's significant. Matthew 1:24-25 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. And he took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There are several things that Joseph was commanded to do, and he did them all. This is what it tells me. You and I are to worship God in trusting obedience. I am troubled by the times. I told Nick, and I've already maybe said it today, but forgive me if I did. I have felt today more than ever before in my ministry what Jesus meant when he stood on the Mount of Olives and wept over the city of Jerusalem. God called me and designed me to be with people, to be with you specifically. Listen, I love the body of Christ, the church worldwide. I love the precious people of many churches in our community. I'm thankful for their ministry. I'm grateful for them. I love the churches that Miriam and I have had the privilege of attending or serving in. But I want to tell you that God has written you on the table of my heart. And that causes me not only to want to be with you, but to lead you to be obedient to the Lord. Salem, we need to get it right in the time that we have left together. We need to go further than we've ever gone because God has commanded us to make disciples of all nations right here and across the globe. We do not need to go at the new experience of our Keys Ferry campus with apathy or complacency or half-heartedness. We need to give it our all, and we do not need to neglect this campus in this part of Henry County. We need to be more fervent than ever before in obeying the Lord to take the gospel to the nations, but also to live the gospel before the nations. In our homes, in our church, in our workplace, and around the world. I will not say who today because I haven't talked to them yet, but I got word that yesterday at Piedmont Henry, another dear lady died of COVID-19. She is the employee of one of our church members. She helped me recently with a need that I had. She went and followed through on the whole, but she interacts regularly with a number of our church members. And my prayer is that I, along with them, lived and modeled Jesus Christ in such a way that she would have been drawn to Jesus rather than repelled from Jesus. Y'all, this time tells us many things, but we need to live before the Lord in trusting obedience, as Joseph did. And seventh, and this is not exhaustive, but this is where we'll end. Seven is a number of completion, so I'm going to use this to complete the message. This is not written easily to be found in the text of the Christmas narrative, but it saturates the whole. It's so obvious, yet can be missed so easily. How should we worship God this Christmas? You and I should worship at Christmas like Jesus did, in complete and total surrender to the will of God for our lives. Think about this. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus pulled off his royal heavenly robes. He laid aside his crown and his scepter. He took a step from his throne, the throne room of God, and he stepped into time and space and took on the form of a human and a little baby at that, and he found himself for 9 months confined to the womb and the safety and the security of the womb of a woman. And by the way, God designed the womb of a woman to be the safest place on the earth. And yet today in our culture, that's not the case, oftentimes. Beloved, at year end, give not only to the ministry of Salem for the work of the church in our lives, but give so that we can give more to the Pregnancy Resource Center and ministries that support all of life. Give so that we can support others. I committed last night, and I don't even know what we'll do. I saw the post of a mother who buried her son this past year because of addiction. And she was raising funds to help the young boys that are there in rehab. And you know, it hit me. There's a place we can join with her in her grief to take the gospel to others. Don't you know Mary grieved at the cross, and yet it was a part of God's story. So what Stephanie Miller's doing, Salem Baptist Church is going to participate in. I don't know whether it'll be $100, $1,000, $5,000, whatever the need is, we want to join with Stephanie to say we are with you and Trey and Nancy and Ed, and we're going to give to let those people know that they matter to us and God is a God of second chances. Somebody at home say, amen. Let me tell you today, Jesus worshiped that first Christmas in complete and total surrender when he became a human. Now keep in mind, he was a human 9 months in advance. From the moment of his conception, he stepped out of heaven and into the womb of Mary. And so we should worship God in complete surrender. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, rather, Jesus made himself nothing by taking on the form of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He stepped aside from what was his to take up what was ours, to take our sin, I don't know why, but this just popped in my head. I'll be 58 years of age on February the 22nd of 2021. My grandfather, at 58 years of age, was retired. He had worked very hard, and he had obtained enough according to the world standard that he and my grandmother could spend more time together, that he could spend time with me. And on it goes. My father, though he still works because he loves it and he's passionate about work, he basically is retired. He doesn't have to push a time clock. But the reality is, if I looked at it from the world standard, I could not retire, nor do I desire to. But my point is this: when God called me to the ministry, it required total and complete surrender and the trust in the Lord that he would take care of Miriam and me when we grew old. Other than our home and a few old cars, we don't have any assets like those generations before me have. But I want to tell you today, the sweetest place in all the world is to be at the center of God's will, doing what he designs you to do. And so today I want to tell you something that reminds me that my trust is in the Lord, and I know with joyful hope he will meet all of our needs until the day we meet him in death or his appearing. Beloved, don't be so concerned about the wealth of the world and the resources that you need. Be more concerned about the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and let him lead and direct your paths. Thank God that he lets us worship him at Christmas. The Apostle Paul tells us maybe the most beautiful of verses in the Bible. He says it very simply but so significantly in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. He just, with an overwhelming sense of gratitude, the Apostle Paul makes this amazing declaration, and let it be our declaration from this point forward and forevermore. And he said this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift given to us at Christmas. Some people say we shouldn't celebrate at Christmas. God says celebrate all the more because the Word became flesh. And our celebration is not to be worldly, but heavenly. To give praise and glory to Jesus Christ. So, beloved, let us worship as the prophets did in joyful hope. Let us worship as the angels and the heavenly host did in glorious proclamation and glorious praise. Let us worship together as the shepherds did, to live with a sense of urgency and to seek the Lord while he may be found. Let us worship as the wise man did, through the giving of material possessions so that the work of Christ can be advanced across the globe. Let us worship God as Mary did, with quiet reflection and meditation on the faithfulness of God. Star, if you're listening to me now, or when you listen to this later, what your parents modeled for you, Charles and Barbara, the life that they lived of trusting obedience in Jesus. Take the moments while you're at home and reflect on what they left you. And that is the treasure of having taught you of the Lord, as Timothy knew in his life, having taught you the scriptures from infancy and modeled for you the gospel throughout their lives. Your mother and daddy were generous, gracious people who loved Jesus, who loved his church, and who loved her staff and people. And Star, we see that in you, but leave that for your nieces and nephews and for all of us. May you be encouraged today. Beloved, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. And so we can sing, and yes, we can weep in joyful hope, because God has come, and now we can go on our journeys with him. Let's pray together. And I'll meet you again here in the sanctuary Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. as we share the Lord's Supper together then. Be ready, be expectant, anticipating. And by the way, if you're online, let us know that you're here by leaving a comment. Let's pray together.